So I want to talk to you today, and my topic is no room for fear. No room for fear. So turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. We're going to look at a couple of my favorite verses, and you all know that I did a book on fear. I'm not afraid to get up and stumble over my words. And lately, the Lord's been bringing some things back because I feel like we live in some pretty scary times, don't we? Pretty scary times. So I thought maybe it would be good for us to think about a couple of just little key things that could make life a little easier in scary times. So 1 John 4, 17, here we go. Love has been perfected. Say, has been perfected. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, say he is, so are we, say are. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So love has already been perfected. Love has been perfected. What does that look like? There you go. Exactly. That looks like Jesus. Love has been perfected. Now, not that he wasn't already perfect, but love has been perfected for us to be able to engage with it. Because we couldn't reach out and get to love because it looked too much like something off in the distance, like a God who was in another realm. And Jesus came into our realm and brought love, and that love has been perfected so that we can touch it. How many of you are perfect? I saw one hand. Well, you know, there's arguments about that, by the way, you know, theological things that just, sometimes theology just makes my head hurt. I just want to be closer to God, and I don't feel like I've reached perfection by any stretch. But the scripture does say love has been perfected, and that's Jesus, right? That didn't take us very long to figure out right from the beginning. So the closer we come to Jesus, the closer we come to perfect love. Not only because he's perfect love, but because we become more like him the closer we come to him. His perfect love is making up for our lack, by the way. And because his perfect love is making up for our lack, we're going to have boldness in the day of judgment. How can we have boldness? Because we're not going to go before the throne of judgment and say, look at me. We're going to go before the throne of judgment and say, look at him. That's the way it's going to work, because we've received his love. It's no longer a look at me. It's no longer about me. It's about him and all that he does and all that he's doing in me and in you. And then the scripture says here, John says, that he, present tense, that as he is present tense, so are we in this world. As he already is, so are we in this world. That's challenging. And what does that mean exactly? It means because he is present tense in us, he's in me, he's in you, he can be seen by the world in us. And he can. Now, I know that there are days when my wife would like to see more of him in me, in this world, no doubt about it. But his love was meant to, and the whole purpose of all this is for his love to be in us and shown through us to a world that needs us, that needs him in us. I was talking to the youth about this last Sunday a little bit, so this might be slightly reviewing, but it's going to be a little different angle. You know, that's why we're here, though. You realize that, right? We're here for him to be shown to a world. He could just do it all himself. And he already, in a sense, did do it all himself, but then he left it to us to do, because he's doing something in us. He's perfecting something in us. So we live for him. He is our purpose. What he has me doing, what he has you doing, what he has us doing might be our platform, but it is not our purpose. This has been being stirred up in me all this year so far. Whatever it is you do, you know what I think about what you do? That is no more important than, here we go, I don't know if I can do this or not. I'm going to mess up the camera, but I'm on the platform. But the platform is not what it's all about. You get it? I hope you can get this, and I hope when I say some of these things, you're going to be able to grasp this. Because what he's doing is our platform, but he is our purpose. He's our purpose. And if I'm doing whatever I'm doing on purpose, then that thing that I'm doing is my platform toward that purpose. But if he's my purpose, I can do anything and be happy about doing it because he's my purpose. I've said this over the years a bunch of times. I don't care what I do as long as I know that he's smiling about it. If he's smiling about it, what I do is worth doing. And there are some really mundane things that we get to do, huh? But if we do those mundane things as unto the Lord, as that's part of our purpose, not the thing, but the Lord and him being glorified in the purpose while we do the platform, our lives are going to become more and more powerful, so that any little thing we do can suddenly be a way for the world to see him as he is. So are we. On our platform, according to his purpose. Is this making sense to anybody? So far, okay, well, maybe. I'm going to be like, it's going to get better, I hope. Now, we all have these goals and milestones in life. We were talking a little bit earlier during the praise and worship service about my granddaughter who was running around in circles and having fun, you know, and I want to see her, you know, hit goals and milestones. She started out as a baby. Where did that go? Like 3 seconds ago, she was born. Now she's two. And she's a big two. That's a big baby. I still call her the baby. And she is the baby of all my grandkids. She's the littlest. But, you know, we start out as babies. We grow a little. We become toddlers. We look a little, you know, wobbly. Okay. And here comes one now. Yeah. Oh. We grow a little bit more. We become preschoolers. This one right there with a tummy ache. Probably ate too much candy.
Highly likely.
Highly likely, yeah. Dad says, highly likely. We become free schoolers, then we go off to school. All good. We progress through various levels of being a kid. It's all good. One day we turn around and our kids are preteens. Actually, we'll just put it in our. We turned around and we were a preteen, weren't we? And then all of a sudden we were a teenager. And then so all of a sudden we're going to events and dances and driving a car and trying to get ready to graduate. And all the time during all this, we're learning stuff. We're not complete, not by any means. And girlfriends and boyfriends and what? When did that kid become an adult? I had that happen again the other day. Somebody who was a little kid when I got here introduced me to their kid who wasn't a little kid. Their kid was an adult. No. That is not, that's, no. Not allowed to do that. But that's the way it works. And then, you know, marriage and career and family, all these milestones in our lives, and they're wonderful. And then our kids do what we did, and then one day we start looking at them and we realize that we've become our parents. I don't want to be my dad. Well, yeah, I want to be my dad. I mean, I'm a dad. Yeah. Dang. And then we finish our careers and we retire and eventually we go back to the dust from which we came, right? That's kind of the way it is. Those are the milestones of life, and then some other generation does it. It's all good. But none of what I just talked about is our purpose. See, this is where we miss it sometimes, because we get so involved in all the stages of the platform that we can sometimes miss our purpose. And by the way, some people's platforms are cut short because God has a purpose that doesn't work with the platform that the average person goes through. I listened to Stephanie Gretzinger at this streaming conference that we did talking to other mothers about her children, and the subject somehow came up that she might be raising a martyr. How many of you have spent much time talking about raising martyrs? Yeah, probably not. But do you realize that some people have lives that God uses in very special ways for very special reasons that I don't even always understand why he did it that way? And there are going to be times when certain stages are not a stage that that person ever gets to take. They don't get to perform on that level because they've got to do something else. This week I was watching Heidi Baker and I was reminded, how many remember we had a girl named Allie Morgan come by? And she was getting ready to go to Michigan State, get ready to graduate from high school, and all of a sudden, everywhere she looked was Africa, 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 and she was going to a Lutheran church just barely and didn't really know what it was to be born again exactly even, but she had, you know, and she started seeing Africa, and the next thing you know, she's telling her parents, I think I'm supposed to go to Africa, and they're like, no, you're not. You're not going to Africa. You're going to Michigan State. Shut up. You're going over to Lansing. And she applied to YWAM, got accepted, and raised the money, I think, 2 weeks, and was boots on the ground in Africa 2 weeks after she graduated from high school. Walked into a YWAM base and saw people raising hands during worship for the first time in her life. Ends up seeing a blind chieftain's son healed in a village. As they were praying for him, the men came up and were chopping around her feet, ready to kill her and the other person that was praying for that boy, but his eyes were instantly opened, and the whole village came to Christ. Then she ended up in an orphanage for AIDS babies. They walked into the orphanage. They said hello to the man. He screamed and ran away. Next thing you know, she's taking care of AIDS babies. Then she's got another group of kids and another group of kids. She finally runs out on her visa, comes home. Her dad, stepfather, meets her at the airport, says, hey, you're going to have to change your clothes. Why? We're going to the Ford Foundation. What for? They might give you some money. You're going to need it with all the stuff you're doing. The dad that was against her going to Africa. She goes to the Ford Foundation. She does a presentation. Didn't even get a chance to take a shower as soon as she got off the plane. They look at her and they say, we have this set of criteria of things that you have to do in order for us to want to give you money. And, you know, you have to hit 90% of them. You hit them all out of the park. How much do you want? She says, swallowed hard, $1 million. And they said, well, that'd be okay, but it's just not enough, so we're going to give you 1.8. And she was still, I think, under 21 when all this happened. Why do I tell you all that? Because Her platform of going to college, of finding a nice husband, of having kids, all that got changed because God had a different platform for her. Because he was her purpose. And what he wanted was her purpose. And all the things that I talked about are good, but all those things should be a place where we stand on the platform of that experience and let Christ out of us to a world that so desperately needs him. Those things exist for us to manifest him, not for us to manifest them. You probably get to manifest them. Most of you already have manifested them. But that's not why they exist. They exist for us to manifest him. And verse 18 again says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. So here I am. I'm back to this idea of the word perfect. And again, we tend to think of flawless when we think of perfect, but really this just means finished or complete. It's reached the point where it's done. Tom, you do this. You paint paintings. And sometimes you look at a painting for a while and there's still something missing and you don't know what it is, right? But then finally it comes to you, that one last little bit that needs to be put on there, that one last touch, that one last, and you finish it and it's perfect. Not that it's a flawless thing, but that it is just what you were trying to do. You've accomplished it. That's what God is working in you and you and you and all of you and every one of you and me. Working harder in me probably than in you, but he's working in all of us until we're complete. I remember Bob Jones, prophet, telling about a time that he died. He died and he went to heaven and he met Jesus there. And the Lord asked him a question about his life on earth. Did you learn to love? And Bob said, I wasn't expecting that. Glad to be in heaven. No desire to go back to earth. Did you learn to love? And he realized, he's not done teaching me yet. He's not done teaching me. And God gave him another, I don't know, 15 or 20 years to go around and learn to love. I want to love better. Do you want to love better? I do. I want to love better. So that's why I am so thankful. I am so blessed. I am so happy that God has put me into the year 2024 and another election season. Ha! Because there's no place better to try to practice love than this crazy world we're in right now. Right? I mean, it's nuts. I don't think I've ever lived anyway in a more divided population than we're experiencing right now. I saw some little thing put on Facebook the other day, and all of a sudden they were just two sides just ripping at each other. Rah, rah, back and forth, you know. It was amazing. And look, if you want to learn to love, there's no better time to learn to love than when you have to put up with a bunch of idiots. Did I say idiots? Yeah, I did. Because no matter which side of things you take these days, the other people are supposed to be considered idiots. That's the way it's being put out there for us. We're all supposed to look at the other side and be shaking our head, SMH, you know, and wondering what's wrong with those people. And so they're idiots and you're an idiot and you're the idiot that they're not and they're the idiot that you're not and we're all idiots. And that's the way it feels sometimes, and that can make it hard to love. And we have this feeling, if those idiots don't straighten up soon, everything's going to go to hell. Isn't that the way it feels sometimes? Like, don't they know? What's wrong with them? Can't they see? I'm feeling it too. I'm feeling it too. So love is not easy right now. But is love that is easy really love? Remember romance, how easy that was? Then you married him. Yeah, I love you. I promised I would. Don't know if I love that, but I love you, you know. I'm loving you, baby. It's what my wife had to go through. I'm telling you, it was tough. Romance was great. Then she had to live with me. Because love that is easy isn't really love, but love that is hard, when you learn to love in the middle of it when it's not easy, that's when you're really learning to love, right? 2 Timothy 1:7 used to be our license plate. We changed it. One of our cars now says no fear, and the other one says fear not. But I used to have 2 Timothy 1:7 as my license plate number, and it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love." Everybody say love.
Love.
And a sound mind. Have you ever felt like you had love, but you still weren't sure you had a sound mind after something your spouse did? I don't know. Okay. Yeah. You remember that time when Jesus was afraid? Oh. No, you don't, do you? Some people think he was afraid in the garden, by the way. He wasn't afraid, but fear was after him. He refused it. I want to get right to it today. What's the opposite of fear? Sometimes we think it's faith, but it's not. It's love. Love is the opposite of fear. I'm not yet totally fearless. I wrote a book on it, still haven't made it there. Fear tries to manifest itself on me once in a while. I feel it's creepy little, you know, coming in, trying to spook me. It works on all of us like that. Fear wanted to manifest itself in Jesus, but it never did. It never could, because perfect love casts out fear. And he was God's perfect love manifest in the flesh. And so, if perfect love casts out fear, and God has not given us a spirit of fear, then if it's fear, it's not God. Let me say that again. I hope you can get this. If it is fear, it's not God. Yep. If I want to be made perfect or complete in love, then I will not ever agree to partner with fear. Now, again, that doesn't mean that sometimes I won't be asked by the Holy Spirit to do something and I will be like, I don't know, this is pretty risky. But right there's my point. What is fear trying to accomplish? Trying to keep you from doing that thing that God's putting on your heart. So I don't want to partner with fear ever. Ever. I don't want to partner with fear ever. And if I partner with fear, then I'm going to sabotage what God is doing in my life and that little place where he's trying to help complete me and make me perfect in love. It's not getting finished at that moment because I partnered with fear. This means that we don't compromise. Some people think, are you saying we love so much that we compromise? No. No, no, no. It doesn't mean if we love that we accept everything that's going on and call it okay when it's not. Okay? We don't call it okay when it's not. We don't compromise. We are called to speak the truth in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, speak the truth in love. But you know, sometimes it's just easier and more fun to just pull a truth grenade and just throw it over there and watch them all blow up. Well, especially on Facebook, it's easier, yes. You know, or someplace like that. We can just toss our little stuff and... So here's the big issue that I really want to focus on today, because a lot of people give themselves permissions for fears, especially ones that don't matter that much. I can have a fear. It doesn't really matter that much. It's not just a little thing. It's not a big deal. But if we make any room for fear, even the little ones, then we are making room for something that by its nature is working against love and won't allow love to be made complete in our lives. That's why I love our little group that Joyce likes to take out, the Fearless Fun Lovers. Because there are all sorts of little fears that just wanna eat away at us. So I wanted to share with you an example of a fear that I totally demolished this week. Yeah! I did it! Woohoo! That's right. I changed a dirty diaper. Woohoo! Yeah, come on. Come on. I know for some of you, you just don't think that much about it. You think that's no big deal. But let me tell you, it was a bigger deal than any dirty diaper I've ever done, because she's two now. It was big. I was thinking, I wish I could go like that. Just it was quite, yeah. And I know some of you can't imagine being afraid of a dirty diaper, but I can't imagine being afraid to get up and talk in front of people. Yeah, I can't imagine it. I never had that fear. I did have a fear of the dark. I did have a fear of needles. I've had fear of lots of little stupid things. And they've been being dispatched because I've come to the revelation that no fear is acceptable, because it gets in the way of God completing his work in me, so that I learn to love. I don't want it. When my kids were little, I'll be honest, I just couldn't change diapers, and it literally did scare me. It scared me that she wasn't going to be around, and I was going to have to do it. And I would try to think, it was on my mind to the point where I was thinking ahead. You know, I was cognizant of the possibility that I might have to change a diaper. I need to be prepared. We need to make a plan here. I am not getting stuck alone with this kid. And my biggest fear was that I would throw up all over everything, because I knew that I had a strong sniff problem, you know, and I was going to throw up all over everything, and I just didn't want to do that. And I was just afraid of embarrassing myself, which is what it really came down to a lot. And don't give me that "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me" stuff. I don't want to hear that from you. Man's got to know his limits. Seriously, though, I did change one diaper when my kids were little. And I remember I took the child. I don't remember if it was Josh or Sonia. Was it my mom's house? Okay, well, I laid the child on the bed. And I walked out. And back out for another. Back out in the hallway. Back in. And you know, we didn't have the. I got to say, it was. I had watched my wife do it a couple of times with London. Now, you know, we got the really good, like, paper diapers. We had paper diapers too, but, you know, they weren't as nice as the ones today. And the little stab things didn't stick all the time. And you were fighting with it and took longer. And we got these wipes now that you just pull them out of the thing. And they're so much easier to use. And it was great. But, You know, I was remembering back, hearkening back to that time, whatever that was, 40 years ago. A little more then. My son's 43, so it was my son. He would have been, 42 years ago, something like that. And it was hard. But thank goodness I was as a young man, I swam a lot underwater. So I made it through, but I also did not let that ever happen again. I made sure. Not going to let that happen. Because, I got to say, I from that forward made sure that I conveniently found ways to let those who are more gifted do that ministry. Did you hear what I said there? Because I phrased that a certain way. I didn't want to do something because it scared me, so I let others do that ministry. That happens in the kingdom a lot. Oh, I'm not called to that. Yeah, I'm not called to diapers. Somebody else can do that. And again, it triggered me. If I thought there was a diaper being changed in the other room, sometimes I just start gagging in the room that I was in. It's stupid. But over the years, I have realized and recognized that little fears have held me back, and things that really aren't that big a deal, but I was making a big deal out of them. You know what I'm saying? There are lots of things that I can make a big deal out of, but it's not really a big deal, but you don't know it because you're so afraid of it, you've turned it into a big deal. And that's what I did back then. And I know there were times when my love was hindered, if only just a little. I made a little room for the foxes that spoil the vine. Talks about that in Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. You can find it. I was watching London, She was just playing. Her mom was going to be gone for an hour. Half an hour had already gone by. All of a sudden, I hear her in the corner making this little noise. And I look over and I say, "London, are you pooping?" And I have to look around like this, and she gets behind the other recliner and peeks out at me. No way. She doesn't say just no. If she says no, it's no way. And if she says yes, it's not yes. It's okay. I said, "I think I'm going to have to check your diaper." Okay. Took her in the other room. Got the job done. I am so happy that I was able to do that. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Proving the word of God. 20 years ago, I'd have been like, "No, don't give me that." Now I'm like, "Yes, I can do this." And by the way, her mom was going to be back in 30 minutes. I mean, would 30 minutes of a dirty diaper been that bad? I mean, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I confess now before my wife, there were times when my kids needed changed and I didn't change them. I just waited for her to get home. Yes. Vile child abuser.
Lucky you waited 40 years to say that.
Yeah. No, I'm probably not lucky. I'm going to hear about it afterwards, but... because I loved my baby girl, though, I didn't really want that to happen to her. Because I had grown in love, I knew that I needed to do something and not be selfish. So I've been overcoming some phobias for my entire life, as I said. Fear of needles, fear of lots of little odd things. Things that don't bother me at all nowadays, but used to scare the crud out of me. I used to put my arm out for him to take my blood. If they could give me a shot, that was no problem. But if they took my blood, it was like, "Oh, that's mine." Yeah, I don't have that problem. I realized that's not of the Lord. That wasn't helping. Remember this, I've said it a lot of times, whatever I tolerate will eventually dominate. The more space I leave for any fear, the less space I have, the less room I have for love. The more space I have for fear, the more room I have for love. I am really going to mess with you. It's St. Patrick's Day. Did any of you wear green? This is kind of the I had another green, but it got damaged doing some work on the house. And I found this one. Oh, that's kind of got green in it. I have a St. Patrick quote for you. Here's what he said. I am Patrick, yes, a sinner and indeed untaught. Yet I am established here in Ireland where I profess myself bishop. I am certain in my heart all that I am I have received from God. So I live among the barbarous tribes, a stranger and exile for the love of God. His platform was not like some of our platforms. If you don't know the story of him, at around age 16, he was captured by pirates in Britain and taken to Ireland, where he was a slave for 6 years and finally broke away and somehow got back to Britain. And when he got back there, God started working his life and sent him back to Ireland. Send him back to the place where he was a slave. Send him back to the place where all the triggers were at and all the traumas were at and all the problems were at. Didn't let him just live his life in Britain, you know, have a wife, have kids, do that thing, retire from GM. Didn't let him do that. Because of love. His love for God had overcome what would be considered normal fears, right? Wouldn't it be normal if you were a slave in Ireland to not want to go back to your slave place? Wouldn't it be normal if you had traumas someplace not to revisit the place of traumas? Wouldn't that be normal? And so as a result, he ended up being a missionary to Ireland. And if you ever read about his life, I mean crazy miracles. Todd White, try to catch that dude. So today, I am introducing or reintroducing to some of you this idea that there is no room for fear in your life. There is no room for fear in your life. I want to make sure you get this. There is no room for any fear in your life. That little thing that you, oh yeah, that's a normal fear. No, it's not. Not for you. Might be normal for other people, but it's not normal for you if you are in the process of being made perfect in love. That fear has to go. Doesn't get to stay. And watching some people, like I had this message already started, and then I go to this conference thing and see crazy people. I mean, these people are not like normal. Heidi Baker, you know, who goes into villages and tells them to bring forth all their blind and deaf people and they'll be healed. And Todd White, who was talking about the miracles that happened during the day that he's speaking, he's talking about the miracles that took place before he got to the meeting. He had several encounters, and one of the people he had an encounter with had come to the meeting and gotten saved that day, and she was one of the first ones when he had an altar call to get more. And I just, you know, you see these people, and Todd White really doesn't seem to have any fear at all. So I say it, they're crazy. They're crazy about God. That's the thing. They're just crazy about God. They really are. They're liable to do anything at any time, anywhere. And some of you remember, we had Todd White here, and we couldn't keep a camera on him because he ran all over the room. He talked about that same thing at Cleveland. He says, you won't be able to keep a camera on me. And they really struggled. And I went with Todd over to the Taco Bell, and we saw a guy get healed, his back and his leg, and his girlfriend got healed of headaches. And then Todd finally stopped having revelations long enough for me to get to pray for the guy's deaf ear, which opened. It's really contagious when you're around Todd. So, everybody stand up. This is an opportunity. I might scare some of you before we're all done here, but I want you to put your hands up. And I want you to say, there is no room for fear in my life. There is no room for fear in my life. I will leave no room for fear in my life. Fear, you can't stay in my life. Do you mean it? Yeah? Okay, that was easy. Now I want to do something for a couple of people. I'm not sure it'll be very many, but a couple of people probably. Holy Spirit, reveal a fear. Oh, did you have to do that? Yes, I did. Now I want you to bring that fear right up here and put it on this line. Bring that fear right up here and put it on. I'm not going to ask you what it is. I don't want to know. Just bring it up here and put it on the line. Come on, anybody else? You want to bring a fear and you just want to put it on the line? That's scary because, but here's what happens. See, I got saved in a revival where I had to go forward to get saved. And here's something I found out about going forward. It's an act of faith. It's an act of faith. And when I go forward and I lay it on the line, stay on the line, stay on the line, stay on the line, ladies. Come, stay back up here on the line. The reason I'm asking you to do that is because some people may need somebody that they can go up there with so they feel like they're not alone. And when I recognize that something I've been tolerating is keeping me from being fulfilled the way I need to be fully filled, then I start to say to myself, oh, now, again, some fears, I'm not going to tell you you have to do this, but I'm just giving you an opportunity. When I ran forward, I cut off everything that was trying to hold me back. If I'd have just said a nice prayer there by myself in the pew, I'd have been okay. You know, I could have. But I made a really hard decision to step forward, to step forward. And yeah, I was a kid, so I was stupid enough not to be afraid. But something changed. By the way, I don't think any less of these guys because I'm amazed. I am thrilled. You guys are you're not going to let this thing have its way. You're not going to let it happen. Sometimes it's just the way it has to be. We just have to have this. We just have to have this. No, I'm not going to. I put up with this. This thing has lied about itself. It's pulled on a cute fuzzy hat and said it's all right. It's just like, it's almost like a pet. I can just have it right here with me. It's just how I am. I believe something's happening right now. So I'm going to pray again. Stay where you are if you're up here. Holy Spirit, just touch these folks special. Just touch these folks special. I just pray for amazing breakthrough. Father, amazing breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amazing breakthrough, power of God. Just amazing breakthrough. Amazing breakthrough. Yeah, fear is not allowed here. Fear is not allowed here in here. Fear will try to come at us, but it can't stay in the name of Jesus. No fear in Jesus' name. No fear. Not even these little, no little thing is going to hold back what you're doing, God. No little thing is going to hold back what you're doing. No little stupid thing that the devil concocted is going to hold back in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. No little thing. No little thing. Father, in Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, we just bless, Lord. We just bless. Power of God. Touch. Power of God. Power of God. Come on. Cheer these on as they go back. Cheers these on as they go back to their seats. Woo! Come on. Did I miss it? No. You might get home and you might see something. You might think of something. Something might come to you. You might actually, you know, I don't know, go reach in a drawer and have something, memory, come up because of something you see in the drawer. And all of a sudden you're like, and you're just like, I got to get rid of that. Then go mark it on the calendar. Getting rid of this today. Not going to let anything hold me back. Why? Because I don't want any cord. It's just like God just put this on my mind because you get this. You've raced cars. There's this drag that sometimes happens that if you change things, it allows the car to go through the air better, right? That's a picture that you understand, but I think other people understand. If you don't understand, ask him about that. He can tell. He probably experienced it a couple of times, like, I'll take this off, it'll be a lot better. That's what this is. I'll take this fear off and it'll be a lot better. I'll get rid of this and it'll be a lot better. And then you get victory in one little fear, and pretty soon you're like, I can do this and I can do this and I can do this. And then next thing you know, you're Todd White. Out running around praying for people. Seeing God do stuff that can't be done. Oh, I'm not supposed to do that. He's called to that. Stop it. You are supposed to be like, maybe not quite like him. I am not growing a man bud. I'm not doing it. Can't anyway, so I don't have to worry about it. You know, not going to happen. Not back here.
That's what you say now.
Well, oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be great? My hair grows out. If my hair grows out back here real thick, I'm growing a man bun. Okay, but other than that, no. But I can be who he's created me to be, and I can carry the love. Yeah, my wife's like, I'm cutting it off. I'm in the night. Delilah. Anyway, she's not going to let that happen, and I thank her for that. But, you know, I'm just saying, God wants you on your platform to be able to produce his presence at levels that you can't currently do, and that thing that's causing drag on us, that thing that's holding us back, we're not going to let it. We're not going to let it. So put your hands out. I pray, Father, that everyone in this room will be given revelation as the days go on, as the next few days go on. I pray that they will come to an understanding of anything that's slowing them down, of anything that's holding them back, of any space that's being camped out on by a squatter who doesn't belong there called fear, that you will just release us, Lord, to be more bold and unafraid everywhere we go, realizing that we're here, especially in 2024, we're here to show the love of Christ to a world that desperately needs us. Send us forth from this place, Lord, and do it for your glory and your honor and your kingdom. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.